Going through the parables. And he says this in verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, as we continue on to verse 37, where the Lord, because remember, he's speaking openly these parables. And then almost as to an aside, he's going to explain to his disciples, verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And again, he's using that call back to his explanation. Your ears work. So for those of you with ears, for those of you that can understand what I'm saying, hear me. Understand what I'm saying. And it kind of answers a question that sometimes get answered. Why does God let evil people live on this world? Why do the wicked stay the way they are? Why, as David said in the Psalms, why do the heathen rage? Why is this allowed to go on? Wouldn't it be easier for God to take all of the all those that would never be saved, all those that do terrible things, all those evil men out there? Wouldn't it be easier to take them and just remove them? And you know what? Life would probably be easier. However, given where in history he did that, you and I wouldn't exist. We wouldn't exist. To remove one, to punish one, to completely absolve or just destroy any wicked in this world would destroy the most of mankind. Meaning our great-great-grandparents, our grandparents, our maybe some of us for our parents, we would have never been born in that case. So what the husbandman says here is, hey, just let them grow up together. And that's where we are. You see, in order for God to make the world a better place, one of two things would have to happen. Number one, he would have to remove our free will. Or number two, he would have to remove anyone who does evil. Either way, no one's happy. Either way, no one's happy. It would be a very cruel thing to sit there and say, hey, let's cast all evil into the fire now. Hey, let's pull them out. Let's cut them down where they are. Well, then what of their future? What of our future? What of those that would be the elect out of their lineage? We cannot destroy or remove them because coming out from around them and among them are the people of the Lord's kingdom. So let's take a look at this. When we talk about the husbandman going out and planting, that's the Lord. What did he plant? He planted an Adam and he planted an Eve. And they were pure and they were perfect. And we see also before the foundation of the world, there was another list of people that would be brought down to earth. And that would be who? His elect. He would create them. He would sow them out. But what happened? The devil comes. And what does he sow? Not bad people. The devil doesn't create people. He taught us how to sin. And from there, a different kind of crop is now grown. Adam and Eve, they would have lived forever. Adam and Eve, they would have never known how to commit many of the sins that we do today. They would have never known jealousy. They would have never known anger. They would have never stolen or robbed or any of the things that we would deem an offense today. They would have never experienced any of that stuff. But the devil, he comes in and he entices and he draws. And they make that decision and sin enters in. And now we are all affected. Weeds in a garden, do they not affect the garden? Well, of course they do. That's why you spend so much time in the spring and summer plucking those things out of the ground. Well, if I don't pull those out, they'll overtake the bed. They'll overtake the planter. They'll overtake this patch of ground. We have to address them. Well, that's what sin has done. Sin has overwhelmed the world. That's why when you turn on the news, you get a bellyache, you know? That's why when you sit there and you listen to people speak and you see the way the world is going, is why it makes you so frustrated and angry, because sin has taken over, and it's been taken over for a very long time. And of course, among them are those who love the Lord, who seek to serve the Lord. All right, so he brought forth who? He brought forth Adam and Eve. Planted them perfect. Then he took his Israelites. He put them down here. Then he's got his elect, and we're here. Right? He's got people of the kingdom that he has sown out. But we are corrupted. We are surrounded by those that are corrupted. The tares are the sinful mankind. The lost, not just those who are innocent in it, but those who, through their decision making, oh, I don't want God. I don't want to have anything to do with them. Right? Remember, even though the Lord wakened some up, the reason why people go to hell is because they refuse the Lord. Well, do they have a choice? Of course they have a choice. Go knock on their door. What are they going to choose? What comes carnal and natural to them? No. Hey, you want to come to church? Stop asking me to come to church with you. I don't like your religion. I don't like this idea of God. No one's going to tell me what to do. You're this, you're that, blah, 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 blah. Ask them. And remember when you were lost. Remember when you were lost. And someone came a-knocking on the door inviting you to church. How did you react? How did you respond? Most of folks who are in church today, maybe not this one, but most of folks who are in church today, most of the saved people, they turned down somebody at their door a time or two. They bit off the head of a relative who just wanted to invite him to church. They did that. Why? Because it was what was carnal and natural to us. So there are some that the Lord had sowed out. There is this change. There is this sinfulness that has taken place. And it affects the whole field. It affects the whole field. Many of us, we've been affected by our own sin. We've been affected by sin that others have committed against us. Sinfulness affects the whole world, much as a weed would affect the entire crop. Much as it would choke off or absorb water it had no business absorbing, it would cause trouble for the crop. And that's what sin does for us. That's what sin-filled people, carnal people, do to us. How many people require help or assistance because of the deeds of wicked people? I was listening to a news broadcast earlier this week. They were talking about another company that was just pouring this highly acidic water out into a creek bed here in Michigan. And they're taking samples of it. And they're like, oh yeah, it's dirty water. We really don't want it in our system. Might affect the drinking water. And that's happened many times all throughout our country. And you know what we failed to do? We have failed to get them to change that practice. So what's going to happen? Oh yes, the frogs, the fish, the rare amoebas, whatever. But you know who else it's going to affect? You and me. Now, what do we do about that? Why would somebody do that, knowing that their water is pretty much bleach? Why would we, or their waste is pretty much bleach, why would we allow that to continue? Well, it's a wicked world, isn't it? How many times do we read of murders and abuses and assaults, and we see it again and again and again and again? Tell me this world is not affected. Hey, let's take the spotlight, put it on our politicians, right? Aren't they the saviors of the world, government? That's what it is. Hate your neighbor, love the government. Your neighbor's trying to oppress you with their beliefs, but thankfully government's here to help you. Let's look at them for a second. Some of the most diabolical, some of the most debauched people we've ever seen. Do me a favor. Here's your homework for tonight. I want you to look at the net worths of presidents before they go into office and when they come out. You'll have to forgive me. I was going to read it, but I left it on my desk. Particularly, look at Bill Clinton and Obama. Of the last six presidents we've had, only Trump went out worse than when he came in. I mean, we're talking millions upon millions of dollars more. I think it was he came out worth $7 million, but he was worth one point something when he went in. Incredible, incredible. Slick Willie there, he jumped up into the hundreds of millions of dollars he was worth. I mean, wow. I think it was like 107, I don't want to say hundreds, but it was like 100 and some change million. That's a big jump for somebody who spent 8 years protecting our interests. Tell me the world ain't completely affected by the corruption of mankind. There's not a thing we haven't tried to abuse. There isn't a thing we haven't tried to ruin. Oh, let's look at anything we see today. Anything that man has touched, man can corrupt. The whole field is in trouble. Not in a way that the husbandman would swoop in, because why? Well, to remove one could be to hurt another. So let them grow together. Sure, we would love to live in a world without murderers, without molesters, without the terrible things that we see today. But to ruin one would be quite possibly to ruin the others. There was a time in society, and I'm firm on the fact that it still exists today, where so very often you would judge a child based on their parents. Now, you do me a favor. You tell me what you've done that's your parents' fault. Now, most of us would sit there and say, nothing, brother. A child should not blame a parent for the things that they do. Okay? But how often do we look at that child and say, well, because of the mistakes your parents made, you're less of a person? It happens. It happens. What decision did that child have to make in the way that he was born, or in the way that, in the things that his parents did, the crimes that they committed? He had no choice. She had no choice in those things. And yet we still level a finger down there and say, well, you're less. It is a pagan person. It is a carnal person. It is an insecure person who needs to downgrade other people to make themselves feel more righteous. Righteousness comes by your own obedience to God, not your ability to prove that other people lack it. This world is a mess. So sinful mankind affects the whole field. And what happens? We grow up. When did the problem begin? Oh, when we see them growing up together. When you see the juxtaposition of, we thought they were all weeds. But now we begin to see the tares. And that's the problem with man's sin nature. That's what happens with our carnal decision making, is you quickly begin to see the results as they begin to bloom. You know, you sit there, you think, oh, well, I think this is a very good person. How many times has society cheered a person? Oh, we think they're great. We think they're wonderful. We think they're fantastic. And then we find out that they've got some horrible skeletons in their closet. And we go, whoa, that's a nasty person. That's a bad person. And yet we're all excited about it. I always get a chuckle when people get tattoos of things. Like they'll get a tattoo of a person's face, and then you find out that that person's like the worst human being ever. And then they're just kind of sitting there going, oh no, Bill Cosby on my forearm. What do I do, you know? What do I do? It's rough. We elevate people all the time. These are the wheat. These are the good people. And then after a while you go, nope. Nope, just another weed. Look at what they did. Look at the behaviors. Look at what they caused. That's just another weed. And again, we don't say that to put people down, because such were we. We were the same. And without the Lord's grace, we would be the same. But after a while of growing together, you see, sometimes we can be identical. Sometimes we can look just like the world. Why? Because we don't change after the Lord saves us. Wouldn't it be nice if you were better looking after the Lord saved you? Man, missed out on that one. I'm trying to remember what teacher I had, what pastor I had that said, when God saves you and you're stupid, he doesn't make you smart after he saves you. You still have to learn. You know, so if you're, he didn't put it very nice, but if you're a dummy before the Lord saves you, you're the same dummy after the Lord saves you. That's why you got to learn. We don't change a bunch in those moments of salvation. We learn, we grow, we develop, yes. But for the most part, you know, you see me do a nice thing for somebody. You see a lost person do a nice thing for somebody. Each one, you're going to sit there and say, well, what a nice thing to do. Now you sit there, you see, oh, well, this group donated this much money to these people who were involved in this disaster. And we go, that's a wonderful thing. And then you see a church do the same. And you look at it and you go, oh, that's a very nice thing to do. Until you begin to see what they are. Until you begin to see the danger and the trouble they're causing the rest of the world. And then you sit there, you say, okay, now I see the difference. Now I see the problem. It's not compassion. It's not niceness that drives them. It's either financial or power or some lust-filled thing that they're trying to accomplish. You know, hey, isn't it wonderful? We've got all of these drag queens wanting to read stories to kids. It's very nice and compassionate, isn't it? Until you realize what it is they're doing. And then you go, oh, that's weird. A grown man dressed seductively sitting in front of a bunch of kids. That's kind of awkward. But no, compassion, love, mercy, no. Let us look at the end. Let us look at what blossoms out of this. Let us look at the desire and the nature of the thing. We grow up together. We look so very the same. We do so much of the same. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. And what's more is you can have just a terrible human being. You can have a diabolical human being. And they do terrible things. But the Lord saves their children. Or the Lord saves their grandchildren. Hey, every now and then you look back at your family tree and there's just a branch you don't want to talk about. You know what I mean? Aren't you glad the Lord didn't judge the whole lineage based on the actions of those? We need to be glad for that. And that's why we need to look at folks not as, well, some of us are good and some of us are weeds. No, let us look at each other. Hey, each and every last one of us could use some grace. Each and every last one of us could use some mercy. Because we can't tell the difference. Drives me nuts. Well, we don't go down there. Well, why don't we go down there? Because it's a very... We just don't think we're going to get a lot of attention down there. We don't think we're going to get, you know, we'll go door knocking. We don't want to go down there because we're just not sure we want that kind of visitor. I heard that one time. And I broke my number one rule. When you're out visiting, you're out door knocking, you should have two people with you, right? I went without them. That drove me nuts. Down there in Cincinnati knocking on these doors. Because you know what? I'm glad someone didn't go by our little apartment and sit there and say, this group, I don't know if we can do a lot with this group. I'm so glad when some weird kid started showing up to Flat Rock Missionary Baptist Church, they didn't sit there and say, let's not put too much attention on this one. He's not going to be worth a lot. He's a bit off. I'm glad. And I'll tell you what, I'm not being humble. I was a weird kid, man. I was weird. I'm glad they didn't. Well, it'd be a waste of time to spend. You know, don't call that kid anymore. Don't call him. I'm glad. And I tell you what, you need to be glad that the Lord sent somebody your way because you didn't deserve it any more than I did. I'm glad for it. So what do we do when we walk through the world? We don't measure people. We don't assign value to people. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're going to be. I don't know what the Lord's going to do. Hey, maybe I hand you a track and you laugh at me and you spit at me. Maybe your kid picks it up in the back of the car. Maybe your wife, maybe your husband, whatever. Maybe somebody picks it up. I'm going to do my job. And not sit there and try to decide the wheat from the tares. But instead, I will be as merciful as God was to me, and I will be as loving as God was to me. And I sit there and say, well, probably not that guy. Probably not that guy. Somebody told me a long time ago, well, I don't witness to drunks. I don't take it seriously. You know what I like to do every now and then? Hey, take this, read this in the morning. Well, what is it? I know. Read it in the morning. My number's on there. Give me a call. I'm telling you, we need to have compassion and not see the world as the weed and the tares, but don't ever forget that that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. But we don't get to decide which is which. We are what? We're just part of the crop. What is our job? To grow and to disperse out the gospel and to serve the Great Commission. That is our labor. To do the best we can. Because we don't know. We don't know. Sometimes the weeds, they come out from underneath the tares. Sometimes it is the child, the grandchild, the great-grandchild. We have no idea what the Lord is doing in someone's lineage. We have no idea. Aren't you glad God is merciful? I know I am. And you know what? There will be some growing pains. The tares will hurt the wheat. Just like weeds will hurt anything in a crop, the tares will hurt the wheat. We've been looking at that for the past few Sundays and Sunday night. The tares will hurt the wheat. They'll be mad at us. They'll choke us out. They'll try to get rid of us. So why? They can get the nutrients. They can get the water. They can have their way. But in the end, the result's the same. To be gathered up and tossed into the fire. You know, why is it that we can have arguments? You know, I was sitting there thinking earlier today about that bar that used to be across there. Man, I'm so glad a dispensary didn't move into there. You know, I went back and forth on this. Well, they wouldn't put another one right over there, but you drive around, yes, they will. They'd put one on top of the other. They will Dollar General those things as much as they can. What's that? A small patch of earth? We either need a Dollar General or a Subway in there. Let's just see. Remember back when it was Walgreens? They'd put a Walgreens anywhere. You know, you go out in space, find yourself a Walgreens, a Subway, and a weed dispensary. It's a joke. I'm glad. I just tried to imagine what it was like sitting here with that bar across the way and knowing every time you stepped out that that's what was going on over there. The stuff they would do, they would come over into the yard and they would use the parking lot where they could. And I'm sure from what I've heard, it was an absolute difficult time. The tares will hurt the wheat. Yeah, I'll get that every now and then. People who will sit there and come in at high speed, circle the parking lot, whiz out real fast. The people who will sit there and the random stuff people think they can do in this area. You know, they'll come onto the property and they'll just be doing random stuff. Hey! Oh, yeah, it's no big deal. No, it's a big deal. Out you go. Come back on Sunday. You know, the tares do not care for the things of the wheat. They don't care for the things of God. There will be an effect. And again, what should our response to that be? Love them. Show mercy to them. Whether they despitefully use you, curse your name, abuse you, threaten to kill you, whatever, love them. Show mercy and compassion to them as the Lord Jesus Christ would. Not looking down our noses, not assigning a lesser value to them, not even thinking in an us versus them kind of way. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to give you the gospel. I'm here to show you Jesus Christ. To take those steps and turn the other cheek. These are all things we are commanded to do. But yet, we don't always. Sometimes we would be the guy who saw Jesus sitting among the sinners going, Lord, what are you doing? Don't you know what caliber of person you're having dinner with? Don't you know who's sitting at that table? Of course the Lord knows who's sitting at that table. And he knows the end result of every human life that there ever has been and ever will be. We need to trust him. And I'll tell you this, the tares will benefit from the wheat. There have been things where this country has rebounded. There will be times where people are affected in a positive way because of God's people. I think of this. Think about this for a second. How many people have you shared the gospel with? And perhaps in some way found them in their problems and helped them. Maybe it was $20 out of your wallet. Maybe it was a good conversation. Maybe it was some advice. Maybe it was having them come on and you gave them some food. Maybe it was just knowing you at work brightened their day up a little bit. The tares will benefit from the wheat. We ought to be a benefit to this world. To make it better, just take the stance, hey, this is what's right. And in doing so, in doing right, in obeying God, God blesses and they get the secondhand blessing from that. They get to be a part of it. Well, hey, listen, the Lord's blessed my life. Let me share with you. Let me give you my extra. Whereas the Lord will bless a group of people that will stand up and be good. All of a sudden, the people find themselves in a better city or a better workplace or a better whatever. Because God is blessing something for the sake of the person in it. Think of Joseph in Potiphar's house. Everywhere Joseph ended up, God blessed that situation even though people didn't deserve it. Did Potiphar deserve to have his house blessed? No. But Joseph did, and Potiphar benefited. What about all the other servants and people that benefited from his organization? Absolutely. He ran business properly. Everything flourished under him. Everybody benefited. Everybody ate better at Potiphar's house. Everything went better. Why? Because God blessed the work of his hands. What about everybody that survived? What about everybody that survived the famine that took over the world? All those people that were able to go to Egypt and get food. Did they deserve it? No. Who did though? Joseph did. God blessed him. God blessed the work of Joseph's hand, putting him where God needed him to be so that he could get him into a position to help so many people and in turn helping his people flourish right there in Egypt. All by the master's hand. People who had nothing to do with God were blessed and were able to survive and were able to live. Now let's flip the other side of the page. What was David's life? He was sold into slavery. Slavery is a disgusting thing. What is that? That's the tares affecting the wheat. He was falsely accused in Potiphar's house. What was that? That's the tares affecting the wheat. He was tossed into prison where he was trusted with authority and the things in the jail flourished. Now, is that a right thing for anybody to have to go through? No. The tares will affect the wheat. And the wheat can affect the tares. We ought to be helpful. We ought to be a source of light regardless of the things that happen to us here on earth. We see finally in this the harvest. What happens in the harvest? Well, those that belong to the Lord, those will be gathered up and taken to the storehouse. And able to be stay there and be preserved there, and as the verse says, there will shine as in the kingdom of God. Hey, aren't you looking forward to that? I got over here today. I was shoveling slush. Isn't that the most saddest thing? I hate slushy days. It's not as fun as snow. You can build something with or throw at the kids and neighbors. You know, it's just icky. And you're going through and it's brown and it's nasty and it's heavy. And you sit there, you look out the window and you go, oh, it's a slushy day. And you're driving through this gray ick and you're pulling into the gray ick and you're shoveling the gray ick off of your porch. It's not great, is it? I'm looking forward to heaven. Honestly, that's the smallest of the problems we have here, isn't it? The weather. I look forward to a place where it's under control. I look forward to a day and a time where we stand in heavenly places and get to partake in wonderful things. And there are no more procedures coming up, and there are no more surgeries to schedule, and there's no more healing, no more physical rehab. There's no more waiting to see what the test results are. There's no, well, I gotta go to work. There's no, well, I need to take a nap. It is just energy and fun and praising the Lord. Looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to not having to say goodbye. I was sitting there with that -4-degree day. I wrote the newsletter for camp, sitting there remembering when it was almost 100 degrees outside. It's -4. We look forward to better days here on earth. Man, I'm looking forward to an even better one up in heaven. It'll be unlike any Bible conference, revival, church service you've ever been to. And we never have to go home. In there we see, who is it that'll be caught up? Well, you're going to see the elect. And then a few years later, you're going to see the redeemed of Israel. Brought up. Come on in. Come on in. Says there, it's the end of the world. And what will happen to the tares? Well, as the verse says, forgive me here, 42, I believe. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jump up one more verse for me. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that what? Offend. All the evil of this world will get scraped up. And them which do iniquity will be gathered up. And I tell you what, verse 42 isn't a cheerful verse. It's not a very happy verse. But I tell you what, if any of us had a creation, if any of us had something that went well or went terrible, what would we do? We'd throw it out. Why? Because that's exactly what you do for things that broke. That's exactly what you do to things that get corrupted. We had a recent game of Come Smell This at our house. You ever play that game? Ours is different. I love my wife, but she can't smell. That's why we get along so well. She can't smell. We had some buttermilk in the fridge. She goes, the buttermilk should be good. And I go, okay. So I went to smell the buttermilk. You know how buttermilk smells when it goes bad? It smelled like that. You know those cartoons where there's like a big green fist comes out like an odor and it just punches you in the face? That's what I got. Oh! Nope. Not good. I think I might have put it right back in the fridge. I'll have to double check. What do we do with stuff? It's degraded. It's spoiled. It's ruined. It's infected. We have to get rid of it. And all those people that had all that time to come to Christ, they will find themselves now without the option. So many, they sit there and they say, well, you know, because we talk about the doctrine of election, and to be honest with you, that's what this passage of Scripture is really explaining to us, that there are those that the Lord has sent down, and there are those that are not coming back in. You know what I'm saying? There's those that the Lord knows, and we know the exact frame. Notice how what he said there wasn't, well, sometimes the tares become the weeds. No, there's the wheat, and there's the tares, and I can't separate them yet. Not a lot of people like that, but that's exactly what that is. This is about the doctrine of election. But some people, they get that so buried into their mind, they stop giving the gospel. Some folks get that so buried in their mind, they never consider salvation because of the whole idea of the doctrine of election. You know, how do I know? Listen, if you in your heart know that you are a sinner, if you in your heart have a sincere regret for that sin, the Holy Spirit's talking to you. You need to listen. Don't try to get into the deep things of theology to try to figure out what's going on in your head. You're not going to be able to armchair couch yourself the Holy Spirit. You need to just submit to Him. That's why when we preach the gospel, we need to preach the gospel. We need to preach the gospel. You know, we talk about sometimes when we're preaching the gospel, we preach about it like it's winning the lottery. It ain't like that at all. The Holy Spirit will move who the Holy Spirit will move. And if you're being moved, there's only one person that does that. There's only one person that does that. I talked to a young man a few years ago. Well, I just don't know. How do I know if I'm one of the elect? If you're saved. Yeah, but how do I know? Well, what do you want me to tell you? If I lift up your arm, there's a barcode. Scan it. Do you feel convicted of your sin? Well, yeah, man, I understand that there's a responsibility. Do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Do you believe Jesus Christ? Yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that you're a sinner? Oh, yeah, man, I believe I'm a sinner. Do you feel guilt? I mean, real genuine guilt about that? Not just I want to get out of hell, but like, you know, I want to make mommy and daddy happy. No, I feel awful about this. This is terrible. I'm like Paul. I wish I didn't do the things that I did, and I wish I could do the things that I don't. Well, there's only one thing that ever knocks on that door like that. I've known a lot of people who just wanted to please me or please their pastor or please mommy and daddy. But you come in and you start talking about a responsibility for sin. That's a point of view mankind doesn't often get to. Yeah, I know I've done wrong. And I want the Lord to save me. Don't sit there and wonder, am I a wheat or a tare? And don't ever sit there and wonder, is this person or that person a wheat or a tare? We obey God. We give the gospel. And if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, you listen. That's what you need to know. Because when that gathering happens, at the end of all things, you want to be in the storehouse and not in the fire. Oh. And in modern Christianity, they don't like talking about hell because it sounds very judgmental. It sounds very tough and sounds very hard. You know, Joel Osteen says, I'm not entirely sure there is a hell. Let's go ahead and take a look at this verse. Well, if there is a hell, it's just a place of distance from God. It's not a place of suffering. Fire, wailing, gnashing of teeth, right? Well, it's a parable. Well, okay, if it's a parable, what weeds do you grow in your garden that gnash their teeth? Anybody here, you ever cut down a dandelion and heard it wail? I've never done it. You're over there, you're like, oh man, I've got all these weeds that are growing up over here. All these things are just kind of choking stuff out. And you just start cutting or you spray the weed killer. No! Doesn't happen, does it? Do we now understand the difference between where the parable ends and where the real thing begins? That's when the Lord explains it. Hey, listen, these are these people. The wheat are the people from the kingdom. The tares are the lost and the wicked. And the fire is hell. We need to avoid that as best we can. Thankfully, God has given us in His mercy and in His kindness salvation. And we ought to give the gospel. You know, I've talked to some people, well, we don't need to really give the gospel. You know, we don't want to confuse things. You know, we don't want to lead people on. You know what? We've had a lot of people come through at Flat Rock, a lot of kids come in, make professions of faith. You know what the lost ones did? They left. No doubt you've probably had a lot of people join this church for about 2 or 3 years and then left. That's what lost people do. They're in for a while, then something else tickles their fancy and they go. Am I going to confuse God? Have we fallen back into this idea of, well, they came forward, but honestly, I know their mom and their dad, and I don't think they possibly could be saved. You know, but so no, we can't let them in. Or do we sit there if we feel like we could come up to heaven and say, hey, listen, we've really worked hard with this one. And we're not entirely sure if they're saved or not, but we worked really... No, the Lord knows who His are. Well, we don't want a bunch of people in the church who are lost. Well, what kind of people do you want in the church? Well, listen, I don't want to baptize lost people. But at the same time, let's give the gospel to everybody we see. Let's give them the gospel. Well, I don't like where they come from. That's not up to you. I don't like the color of their skin. That's not up to you. We don't get to pick these things. Well, they look like this, they look like that. I don't like where they came from. I don't like their parents. I don't like this. I don't like that. Just give them the gospel. Because there is one most deplorable class that has ever walked this earth. If there was a disgraceful group of people who surpassed ugly and nasty inside. It is the human race and all of us. There's not a one of us that lifts their head up over the others. We give the gospel. And I tell you what, if somebody comes in and they say, hey, I think the Lord's saving me, I'm going to ask them the same questions whether I like them or not. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know a lot of people I meet right off the bat that I don't like. You know, typically people start right here with me, and they got to work their way out, you know. I mean, maybe every now and then I'll look at somebody and I'll go, oh, all right. You know, you come up and they're bashing on another car's door in traffic. Okay, maybe you're not a good guy. But I tell you what, we need to serve the Lord and not try to decide the wheats from the tares. When will the wheat and the tares be separated? When God separates them. We don't get to pick. We don't get to choose. And we need to show who we belong to in everything we do and in everyone we're around. Why? Because you have no idea who you're in the presence of. Could be the elect. Could be somebody who's having a bad day and just needs a friend. Doesn't matter. Be the light that God has sent you down here to be. And instead of us sitting there, well, I'm one of the wheat. Yeah, by the mercy of the Lord, you didn't do anything. Right? A wheat plant, a tomato plant, an apple tree, they don't get to brag about being those things because they didn't get to pick. I mean, I'm not really good with growing things. But I don't think you get to pick up the seeds and go, all right, seeds, what do you want to be? Okay, you're an orange tree, you're an apple, and okay, lemon, okay. You don't get to do that. It is what it is. And I tell you what, we need to treat people with the same love and respect God treats us. But at the same time, the wheat ought to act like the wheat. We ought to be the light of this world, the salt of the earth. We ought to look like we belong to the Lord. And stand tall and firm on the good ground that God has planted us in. No compromise. No falling into sin. No getting choked up with this world. But standing and say, hey, this is what I am. This is it. And we give that gospel and we serve the Great Commission. Because we don't know when the gathering day will come. We don't know when the reaping will take place. That trumpet could blow any minute. It could blow 100, 200 years from now. I don't know. But I tell you what, it ought to be. It ought to find us working on that day. It ought to find us serving the Lord on that day. Be it the Lord takes us home or the rapture happens, we ought to be ready for it. Oh, there'll be that 7-year time where God's dealing with Israel and they need to get ready for it. But let us serve the Lord while we are surrounded by these tares. And let us not sit there and consider, am I a tare or am I a wheat? Let us turn to God, admitting that we are a sinner, repenting of that sin, and trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, when we see the distinction between the wheat and the tares, Lord, it ought to humble everybody. Because, Father, if you saved us, it wasn't because of us. And Father, as you bless us and you take care of us and you cause us to grow, it's not because of our own power or because we could. Lord, all things come down to your mercy and grace. Father, I pray that you continue to save souls. Lord, I pray that you help us to stand strong in a wicked and perverse world that does terrible things. And help us, Father, to point others towards you in all things that we do. Help us to stand apart and different. Lord, help us to be very obviously yours. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.